Hi, I'm Alec Mappa, and you're listening to The Dinner Party Show with Christopher Rice and Eric Shaw Quinn.
I went to a marvelous party.
Most people don't even know the facts.
They go with their gut, don't have enough depth to last the entire season.
Christopher? This is only going to work if we speak one at a time.
Fine. You first, Eric.
Live from the Sunset Strip in beautiful West Hollywood, California, it's The Dinner Party Show. The internet's first live comedy variety show with your hosts, New York Times best-selling authors, Christopher Rice.
No, there's actually a new study that confirms every other child you see on the street is a ghost.
And Eric Shaw Quinn.
I don't want to talk too much, but...
Okay, we're going to take up a collection for the stained glass window. Now we want the dirt.
Featuring reports from their largely unqualified staff of special correspondents.
Sex is like Christmas. It's the not knowing what you're going to get that makes it exciting.
New York is a giant trash island infested by has-been theater queens.
If we're really serious about cutting federal spending, the biggest waste of public funds I can think of is Congress.
Two snaps for Jesus!
The Dinner Party Show! Everyone gets served. Tonight's live cast is streaming to you live and for free through the dinnerpartyshow.com and our free mobile app. And now, direct from the kitchen by way of the...
Get out of my office!
It's your hosts, Christopher and Eric!
Good evening, I'm Christopher Rice.
And I'm Eric Shaw Quinn, and you're listening to The Dinner Party Show for March 1st, 2015.
And tonight we will not be talking about the llamas or the dress.
Oh, thank God.
Two topics which dominated social media for most of this past week. While the escaped llamas were amusing, and the hypercolor are they maybe using two different photos dress was confounding, we were more put out by the shrill complaints that both topics had allegedly rendered social media dumb.
Really?
We're not quite sure what to make of these complaints, except to wonder, would these very people like for there to be a major national tragedy every day of the week just so social media stays interesting? Or perhaps they're just not willing to admit that on most days, most of social media is actually pretty dumb. Llamas and dresses notwithstanding. At any rate, tonight we won't be talking about either unless someone manages to Photoshop the llamas into the dress, in which case we will probably post it on our Facebook page.
We will have nothing further to say about Jack Fallahy, the actor moron dancer bigot who plays the gay man whore on How to Get Away with Murder. After going from zero to national celebrity by playing a very sexually active gay character on the ragged and raunchy TV show, Fallahy has made it clear that he is bothered by folks asking whether he's gay or not in real life. That's right. He wants interviewers to focus on his ability to simulate gay sex on the small screen each week, but not his sexuality. In short, he wants to be taken seriously as an actor. That ship may have already sailed, Jack. Fallahy actually said out loud and on the record, "We don't have that same kind of fascination with actors who are portraying heterosexual characters."
Oh, my God.
Really, Jack? Because no one cares about Ashton and Mila's new baby, or Lady Gaga's engagement ring, or J-Lo's latest boy toy, or Gwyneth and Chris's conscious uncoupling, or Mariah and Nick's hideous divorce, right? And just so you know, all of that is talking about their heterosexuality. And your words, Jack, are what homophobia sounds like. Maybe you can use that if you decide to do more character development than just working on your cocksucking technique for that part playing a gay man on the hit show you've been lucky enough to get. Clearly you're not gay, Mr. Fallahy, or you'd already know how bigoted you sound. Mm-hmm. But whether you're deeply in the closet or just an insensitive bigot, we deeply don't care, and we won't be watching your show anymore unless our friend Jack Meixel comes back
Absolutely.
Next season.
Absolutely, we love Jack.
Whatever happens, Mr. Fallahy, we will have nothing further to say about you except Isaiah Washington!
Those are Isaiah Washington dishes. Okay, also not being discussed. The
Benham
brothers. Oh, remember them? The twin anti-gay HGTV rejects who this week claimed that a gay man who contacted them on the internet decided to walk away from the, and I'm quoting now, gay lifestyle after the twin bigots bought him tickets to a Chicago Cubs game.
Oh, he was just trying for season passes.
Well, maybe if we promise to stop sucking dick, we can get Super Bowl tickets out of the guys.
That's
what do you think?
It's going to cost him more than that.
I don't actually want to go to the Super Bowl that badly. Also, it seems pretty easy for gay people to interact with these two hunky haters online. So our question is, which app do you use, boys? Grindr or Skruv? Or maybe you just went with a webcam, since you're more likely to make money doing that these days than appearing on actual television.
Right? We also really, really have nothing to say about the results of the latest CPAC presidential straw poll, except to point out that only one of the last nine winners even got the Republican nomination, and none have been elected president. So here's a thought. Why not try actually governing and then running on your record of doing a good job? You know, keep the government opened and fully funding. Pay the bills, make sure that the creepily named Homeland Security Department is better able to keep us safe and less able to spy on us, keep healthcare affordable and available to all Americans, or make actual immigration policy rather than just trying to prevent other people from doing it, because as always, you refuse to do your job. Mm-hmm. To quote former straw poll winner Bobby Jindal, maybe it's time to stop being the stupid party. Or not. Either way, the only thing we have to say on the matter is Hillary 2016. As for everything else, it's still on the table on tonight's live cast of the Dinner Party Show.
You're listening to the Dinner Party Show with Christopher Rice and Eric Shaw Quinn. Enjoy the hors d'oeuvres, but don't fill up. There's plenty more to come.
Welcome back to the Dinner Party Show. I'm Christopher Rice.
And I'm Eric Shaw Quinn.
And guess who is
our
green room?
Oh my
God. Looks fabulous and fierce and glamorous.
The whole place looks more glamorous now because she's here.
She is Jackie Collins. We have been promoting her appearance now for weeks. We are so thrilled that she is here. We have questions from some of you on our party line that we're going to play for her, but we hope that some of our party people are on the Facebook page right now for the live cast, and we'll take your questions as well. But first, I just want to thank my dear friend Eric Shaw Quinn for something very special that he did for me late last year.
Really?
We were in a doctor's office together in a waiting room.
Oh.
And I was flipping through the available magazines, and one of those magazines was Highlights, a magazine for children. And I made a comment, if you're not familiar with Highlights.
No, he spent a long time solving the puzzle about how do these two pictures, how are they different?
It's like a Where's Waldo on crack thing. If you don't know Highlights, the last page is like a big train station or a bus station or something, and then various things within the picture don't belong there. Like you'll see a woman walking and she'll be pushing a wheelbarrow full of tiny clowns, and that clearly doesn't belong in a train station.
I don't know. Apparently you haven't been to Union Station recently.
So I commented that I was pretty good at this game that is actually targeted to
he
six and seven-year-olds.
I'm really good at this.
I am really good at it.
And
I am.
He was actually, but it's for 6 and 7 year olds, so, you know, being older than 6 or 7 years old by a number of years.
So this bitch, as I like to call him, my best friend, this bitch, decides to subscribe me to Highlights magazine.
Well, I heard he was really good at those.
I don't cancel the subscription because every week it shows up and I get to take a picture of it and I text it to Eric and say, you bitch. And so I think Shea Butters is posting a picture of our latest issue of Highlights magazine onto the Facebook page right now.
I think you should post the puzzle on Facebook and like with your solutions or whatever.
Circle, look,
or challenge
it's
others.
It's a cloud shaped like candy. It shouldn't be at this summer picnic. What are they thinking? Everything's so weird. Anyway, so that's one of the many perks of being good friends with Eric Shaw Quinn. The other one is you get to interview fabulous people like Jackie Collins on your internet radio show.
Well, I don't know if I was in any way responsible for that, but I'll take credit if I get it.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that when we invited her to come on the show, she probably listened to a few of them, and that in the course of listening to the show, she probably heard your voice. Now, I will tell you, I was traveling these past... You're just going to play with your microphone? Like
I'm sorry about
show.
That, guys. I crashed into my microphone and knocked it loose, so if it was noisy on the line,
It twirled up!
It twirled up!
I was traveling the past few weeks, which is why some of you may have noticed some reruns here on the Dinner Party Show. But I was at the Coastal Magic Conference
Encore
in Daytona.
Encore performances, Christopher.
Encore,
please. Previously owned.
Previously on the Dinner Party Show. Previously loved on the Dinner Party Show.
Right. Beloved favorites.
So I was at the Coastal Magic Conference in Daytona Beach, Florida, which is a paranormal romance conference. And I was there with my girls from 1001 Dark Nights.
What tricks did you do?
I don't know any magic tricks. I didn't need to because all they wanted to talk about was your voice.
Really?
They were like, they would have a few glasses of wine and they're like, I just need to tell you, when I meet Eric, it might be a little strange because I love his voice. I just have a thing with his voice.
Well, that's, you know, that's really
so
nice.
You're big in Daytona, babe.
Or at least my voice is.
Your voice is your voice is big everywhere.
It's pretty big.
Your voice is big everywhere.
It's a bigger voice, yeah.
Yeah,
I actually kind of hold it back for the show.
Well, we have some news for your loyal listeners, for our loyal listeners. You are in the final stages of editing your murder mystery. The ongoing editorial process.
The hospital spokesperson giving the throes of death report. In the final stages.
He's in the final. He's out of critical. He's out of the woods and into the line.
Really, honest to goodness, I'm going to start passing it around probably within the week.
Yeah, cool.
Like, I'm that kind of close. It's really, I'm just doing some light cleanup work. I did a big edit, and Christopher went back through and made a few notes.
Some very intrusive
and some of them
suggestions.
Weren't stupid.
Yeah, some of them were not so stupid. Could you have a hurricane here, maybe? Or like, could he be more like me? Yeah.
So it won't turn into like a dark, mysterious book.
A dark gothic thriller.
That's not going to happen. But I'm cleaning it up and I should have it out to distribute and... I'm hoping to have it in your hands really
excellent, soon. Excellent. All right, you're listening to The Dinner Party Show. I'm Christopher Rice, and that's Eric Shaw Quinn over there next to me, but I'm not going to allow him to speak.
I'm still Eric Shaw Quinn, and Christopher also has a new book out.
I do have a new book out. It's called The Surrender Gate. You'll hear a promo for it later in the show. But
that's why he was away. He was out promoting his new book.
And we will be back very shortly with Jackie Collins.
God, I can't stand it. I'm so excited.
You're listening to The Dinner Party Show with Christopher Rice and Eric Shaw Quinn, where the soup is hot, but the heads are hotter.
Welcome back to The Dinner Party Show. I'm Eric Shaw Quinn, and as you've already heard, tonight we're very excited to welcome our special guest,
Jackie Collins!
Jordan Ampersand. What are you doing here? No. That's Christopher C. Get up from there this instant.
I'm here to talk to Jackie Collins about the book I'm writing.
What book? You're not writing a book.
Too. When I found out you were having someone on the show people had actually heard of, I Googled her, and suddenly I was so inspired.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, since he's showing no signs of leaving, allow me to introduce our critic at large, Jordan Ampersand, who is apparently writing a book. A book inspired by Jackie Collins?
See, it goes like this. Before I Googled Jackie Collins, I didn't realize that writers could be fun and fierce. I thought they all had to be like you two losers.
The perpetually fired 35-year-old in the propeller hat and Daisy Dukes has called me a loser. How will I ever recover?
Focus, Eric Shaw Quinn. You have to help me write my book.
I'm sorry, what? I thought I was a loser. Why would you need me to help you write your book if you're so fun and fierce?
Well, see, that's the problem. Writing is a lot of work, and that's what discourages cool people from doing it. So you're going to do the work parts, and I'm going to bring all the content. See, that's a writing term, content.
Content, I see. And what is this content going to consist of?
Well, it's going to be like what happened to me and what I said and who I slept with and what I bought. And then, you know, what happened to me and what I said and who I slept with and what I bought. And then, I don't know, someone will die.
So it's going to be nonfiction.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be like what happened to me and what I said and who I slept with and what I bought. And then what happened to me and what I said and who I slept with and what I bought. And then, I don't know, someone will like...
die?
Yeah, that.
Any chance it could be you?
No, I have to come back for the sequel.
And what's the sequel going to be about?
Well, it's going to be like what happened to me and what I said and who I slept with and what I bought. And then what happened to
all
me
right,
and
all
what
right,
I said.
All right, enough.
Come on, Eric Shaw Quinn. You could totally write a book about my life.
Jordan, that's what everyone thinks. And they're all... wrong.
That you're a writer?
No. That their life is worth writing a book about.
Yeah, but mine is.
Why is that?
Because I'm cute.
Try a photo shoot, then.
Whatever, I'm on Instagram.
Jordan, trust me. Your life is not worth writing a book about.
You're not listening. I'm cute.
Cute doesn't cut it, you little bitch. A book needs a story. Even a work of nonfiction needs something called a narrative arc. And you don't have one, Jordan. Ampersand. Not one that's worth reading, anyway.
Then you can just add one in.
That is called writing. And I'm not going to write a book about you or for you ever.
And this is why cool people never become writers.
Get out.
Except for Jackie Collins, and that's why I'm going to wait right here and ask her to write my book with me.
You will do nothing of the sort.
Oh, yeah? What are you going to do about it, writer?
Brandon, Brett, clear him. I'm Eric Shaw Quinn, and you're listening to The Dinner Party Show. Joining us next, world-famous author Jackie Collins. Sandra Bullock. Tina Fey.
I can see Russia from my house.
Jennifer Aniston.
Russ?
They're not getting any younger. But the people calling the shots at the studios and the lazy jerks at the talent agencies aren't getting more creative or any better at their jobs.
This doesn't remind me of anything I've seen before, so we're gonna pass.
So that means more completely unoriginal romantic comedies starring our old, 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 old favorites. They had it all.
This darn law practice or advertising agency or restaurant or retail establishment that I own, where everyone spends all of their time talking or drinking or possibly cheating on their spouses, or maybe all three, makes me so much money that I can act like an irresponsible jerk because this kind of success is unfulfilling somehow, even though it makes no demands on me whatsoever.
And I spend my time shopping, arguing with my kids who talk like the middle-aged philosophy majors who wrote this crap, or bitching to my friends about how much happier I'd be if I was working two jobs and struggling to make ends meet.
Mom, it's just easier not to try. That way I avoid failing altogether.
You are such a Jungian existentialist.
I'm not.
R2.
Oh, you too.
So naturally, they're all miserable.
If I got a divorce, I could finally have the kitchen I've always wanted.
My wife looks amazing. So I'm going to pursue this unrealistically gorgeous younger woman from work or some random meet cute in an effort to give meaning to a life filled with the kinds of rewards and personal success that most people only dream of.
Together, they'll make such a mess of everything that they'll realize how good it was before they fucked it up.
I already have everything I need.
Which we all knew in the first scene.
You, our multi-million dollar home, our crazy, way too old to be school-aged kids who make it seem less ridiculous that people as old as we are still have school-aged kids, and the wildly successful business that runs itself are really all I need.
And I really don't want it all, even though the only thing I've actually had to give up are effort and struggle.
That's Privileged. The romantic comedy they keep making over and over again, even though we all stopped going years ago.
I'm so lucky.
No, I'm the lucky one.
We owe our lives more to economic inequality than luck.
That sounds pretty lucky to me.
Privileged. Because they have to show something on HBO in between Game of Thrones episodes, so we made this movie one more time.
Oh, mother. Cogito ergo friends.
Wanna see some fancy pageant walking?
You're listening to The Dinner Party Show with Christopher Rice and Eric Shaw Quinn. Let's dish.
Welcome back to The Dinner Party Show. I'm Christopher Rice.
And I'm Eric Shaw Quinn.
And our guest has sold over 500 million books
today,
in over 40
just this afternoon.
This afternoon when they heard she was going to be on The Dinner Party Show. 31 consecutive New York Times bestsellers. Jackie Collins, welcome to the Dinner Party
Show. It's so good to be here.
Such
you guys
an honor
are great.
To have you.
Hello, Eric. Hello, Chris.
The place is more glamorous just because you're here.
Uh-huh.
During the break, you were already called a bad boy by Jackie Collins, which is very exciting.
Didn't get it on tape. I'm just broken hearted.
Well, I said he deserved a spanking, but.
Because he did not record Graham Norton.
I didn't record Graham Norton.
I know. And everybody loves Graham Norton. I mean, it's the best show on television.
It is so funny. I wish there were more. Although, I have to say, I think Jimmy Fallon is actually doing.
No, Jimmy Kimmel. Jimmy Kimmel. It's all about Jimmy Kimmel.
I love all of those games that Jimmy gets.
Oh, my God.
Jimmy Fallon gets played.
No, Jimmy Kimmel, you have to. That Jimmy is the one you have to follow.
The one that Matt. The one where Matt tied him to a chair.
Yeah, that was very. That was great. But did you see Jimmy Kimmel's acting school after the Why? What's wrong with you? You're not watching the right television.
Eric, do what Jackie says. Do what Jackie says.
I will absolutely do it.
He did an acting school.
Absolutely, I will watch it.
He was fantastic. He had a black berry and black glasses, and he had all these actors, and he was hitting Sean Penn over the head with a rubber thing. And then he was telling Jennifer Aniston what to do, and they were all like, you know, in acting school, it was great.
This is wonderful.
You can catch it on YouTube.
This brings me to my first question.
I will change my ways, I promise.
You are a big Twitter user.
I am,
you love
yes.
Twitter.
Yeah.
And you were very generous and positive on Twitter, which is not something I can say for everyone. You talk about what you like, you talk about what you enjoy seeing, whereas most people on Twitter, maybe sometimes me included, are very snarky and, you know, we go after people we don't like and la 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 la. But you're very sort of supportive. I love that.
I said something today, and I try to do this once a week. I say something about bullies because I hate bullies. Mm-hmm. And whenever I do, I get such a huge response. I think one of the things I said today was, if you're a bully, you're a coward.
Yeah.
And I get this huge response from it because, I mean, it's so shocking that people are bullied. And I traveled around the country a couple of years ago with one of my books, Married Lovers, in a bus, a rock and roll bus.
Mm-hmm. How excellent.
And I went to all these casinos, all the Indian casinos, and I went to like 24 different places. But the audience would be fantastic, but there would be young boys who'd say, I don't fit in here, you know, and I'm bullied, and because I'm different from the other guys and stuff like that. And I realized that they need people to be supportive of them, you know.
Champions, absolutely.
Yeah, so if I can give them a little, because I get so many 14, 15-year-old boys writing to me and going, I love your books.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think they gravitate towards your books?
Well, interesting enough, I was at the Vanity Fair Oscar party the other night, and I was talking to Baron Sacha Cohen. She said name-dropping immediately.
Not the most glamorous sentence that's been uttered on the show maybe ever.
And Isla Fisher, his wife, was there, who's lovely and a wonderful actress,
funny.
Very pregnant.
So funny.
So
and
funny.
She said to me, she said, you know, she said, I'm from a little town in Australia, she said, and we had nothing there, she said, except I got your books, she said, and I read your books, and I said to myself, Isla, you got to get to Hollywood.
Oh,
so,
wow.
I know, that's fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
You inspired her journey.
I inspired her journey,
How marvelous. Yes,
but
I guess that's a wonderful part of
writing. I
do get
emails from people all the time saying that they are inspired because I write all different colors, all different sexual orientation, all different ages, and that appeals to everybody. There's something for everybody in my books, and I think that's why I've been lucky enough to be so successful for hundreds of years.
How many books is it? It's so
32
many.
32 books.
32. I mean, this must be outdated Wikipedia numbers. 31 consecutive New York Times bestsellers, but now it's 32.
32.
Yeah. I was listening to another interview with you just because I had to look more prepared than Eric.
Eric.
And it's when you started, you wanted to write sexy books, but when you looked out at what was going on with books that were focused on sort of various sexual relationships, it was Harold Robbins and Sidney Sheldon.
Yeah.
And you said, in those books, the women were either in the kitchen or the bedroom.
Absolutely. So it was a question of sex or cooking. And I thought, well, my women are going to be fantastic women. They're going to be strong. They're going to be sexually equal. They're going to be out there. And they're going to do whatever they can do to be that way. And so I've created some very strong heroines over the years. And the strongest, of course, is Lucky Santangelo.
Of course, right.
Which I did two miniseries for NBC about, which I wrote and produced.
Wonderful.
And 9 books about Lucky now. And the Santangelos comes out in June.
Wonderful.
Which is an epic story, and the one of the family dies. I'm not going to say who, but I know everybody will be furious. However, I don't know what my characters are going to do. I sit down with a pen. I have no outline.
That's the other thing that I was hearing, is that you have no outline. No. You just sort of go with it, and you write out entirely by hand.
Yes, I do. It's so old-fashioned, but I love it.
But I think there are a lot of writers who do that. Nelson DeMille, I believe, writes out entirely
by
hand. Yeah, that there's a whole school of thought that it allows your mind, I don't do it, so I don't know why I'm speaking with this authority about it, but it allows your mind to sort of slow down and live in the book more,
as opposed to your
keys can sort of get away from
you. My characters take me over. When I'm writing Lucky, I become Lucky. I mean, I'm writing an autobiography, and the opening line of the autobiography is something that was actually said to me. It's, "Don't move, bitch, or I'll blow your fucking head off." And that was said to me by a robber with an Uzi in my face.
Oh, my God.
But I was writing the Lucky miniseries at the time, and so I went straight into Lucky mode. I thought, fuck you. How dare you speak to me like that with all that hate in your voice? And I was in a car. I was able to take off and escape.
Good for you. Was this in Los Angeles?
It was.
Oh, my God.
It was about 15 years ago.
You were just driving and it was like somebody
came
up to your car?
No, I was trying to enter somebody's house and we were laughing and the beautiful Joanna Poitier, Sydney's wife, was with me. Uh-huh. Another name drop.
That's what we name drop all the time. That's why
good.
We started the
Thank
show.
Thank God for that.
Well, it's a dinner party.
We're all here to talk about who we know.
Yeah,
we can talk about
absolutely.
All kinds of things.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
In fact, there's a fab picture of me and my sister in People magazine this week chatting away to Benedict Cumberbatch.
At the
Vanity Fair party.
How was the Vanity Fair party?
It was so much fun.
Now, last year it was moved, right? It was moved from Sunset Tower to the parking lot.
Did it leak?
Yes, to a fabulous
Well,
it need,
they needed more space. I love the
yeah,
Argyle,
it's
but
always
it's,
great. I mean, Graydon
puts on a
fantastic
building.
Show. Yeah.
I figure they just had to
expand.
And I
got to meet Lady Gaga, who was completely lovely.
Did you see the ring?
She showed me her ring. And we discussed her fiancé, because I happen to watch Chicago Fire every week.
He's spectacular. He was also, I loved him as the werewolf.
I never saw him as the werewolf.
Oh, yeah, on Vampire Diaries.
Yeah, well, I'm behind on Vampire Diaries, but I love Vampire Diaries.
Yes. And then the series that he did with Bo Derek on MyTV, I think it was called Fashion House.
Oh, yes, they were trying to do a telenovela as a daily soap opera. All right, it's a TV war between Eric Shawquin and Jackie Collins, ladies and gentlemen.
Because, as I told you before, I'm a TV addict.
You are.
So I can tell you anything about any program.
Well,
I give every show a chance, but then if I don't think it's going to work,
I'll watch one episode of anything. The premiere of everything.
Yeah, Allegiance. Are you watching Allegiance?
I tried.
Oh, it's good.
Didn't work for me.
It's
I lasted
good.
Three
I'm starting
episodes.
To feel like you two
oh, you
have
did?
Different TV tastes.
Yeah.
I think three episodes, and then it was
Just listen to me, Chris.
I'll listen to your Twitter feed.
I will tell you. I think I should have been a TV critic.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you still could be. I think people would listen to pretty much whatever you wanted to talk about.
Well, I do. That's what I do on Twitter. If I go to a movie, I'll talk about it. I'll say if I like it or not. I saw a wonderful movie today, actually, with Kevin Costner. He is such a good actor.
McFarlane.
Yes. Have you seen it?
No, I haven't, but it looks really wonderful.
You know,
it looks very simple and very sort of...
It's very simple. Yeah. It's a true story, and it makes you feel good. It's a really feel-good movie. And I also saw him in last week, Black and White.
Did you? Did you like it?
I loved it. It looks amazing. I loved it.
I don't think it's performed all that
but
it looked like a really sharp piece of work.
Yeah, and he's fantastic in both of them.
Yeah,
he's
I'm a
fantastic.
Big fan of his.
He's just a very underrated actor.
I love him.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we do have a question for you from the party line.
Viewers.
People are actually
The other party guests. Yes, now's your big chat.
This is from our party line, and I think this is a question about one of your characters in particular.
Okay.
Hi, Eric Shawquin, Christopher Rice, and Jackie Collins. I love your books, Jackie.
Thank you so much.
And my question was, what inspired you to write Chances in the Bucky San Angelo novels?
You know,
and I absolutely love the Dinner Party show. Like, I've been listened to the show since January, so I've heard every episode so far. Thank you.
Well, we're going to be the best episode, so there you go. Now, I'll tell you what inspired me. I wanted to write a really, really strong heroine, and I wanted her to have a battle with her father. In fact, I think it was CNN that called it The Godfather Goes to Bed. And it's very sexy. And it's the first book about Lucky Santangelo and Gino Santangelo. He comes to America at the beginning of the last century, and he becomes one of the biggest gangsters in America. And then he goes legitimate, and he builds hotels at the beginning of Las Vegas. And then Lucky is born, and she wants to follow her father because her brother is gay, and he does not want to get into the business. And, of course, Gino, being a kind of very macho man, cannot accept the fact that he has a gay son. But Lucky is very supportive of him, Dario. Unfortunately, Dario gets... No, I better not say what happens.
Don't say that.
No, spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
I'm already hooked.
But that was the inspiration.
So you said, well, that was CNN's quote, The Godfather Goes to Bed.
The Godfather Goes to Bed.
Were you influenced by movies? I read an interview where you said you were.
I was influenced by The Godfather, which I think is one of the best movies ever, and the book of The Godfather, which I absolutely
love.
You can
sit with my mother. My mother reread that book this year and says it's just one of the most influential works of popular fiction.
She
gave me a first edition for my birthday this year, a hardcover for,
How fabulous. Yeah. That's so great.
Yeah. But,
It's a fantastic, a fantastic movie, a fantastic book. And I always say it's my favorite because there's so many scenes in it that are so memorable. So when you read the book, you can almost envision what's going to happen. And then, of course, Al Pacino walks into the movie and you're just, you know, you have to fall in love with Michael Corleone.
Right, absolutely.
Yes, such an amazing, and it really did sort of begin an entire different approach to telling those kinds of stories.
Exactly, yes. I wanted to write a gangster with a heart of gold.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And Gino has a heart of gold.
And from a personal sort of perspective, as opposed to just sort of postage stamp monsters on the side of the... much the same way that your mom has made the vampire...
That's what mom said the impact of it was. It was an interior story about the mafia told from the point of view of the insiders.
By the way, your mother is fabulous.
Oh, and she thinks the same thing about you. Yeah, you all met really recently at that reading of Rob Ross's new play.
It was fantastic.
It was wonderful. Yeah. I wish I'd had a picture of it, but it was the type of event where I didn't want to be snapping a lot of pictures.
I snap pictures wherever I go. I'm doing a book called Hollywood Snaps. Because, cool. Yeah, and I'm opening it with my sister at one point was engaged to Warren Beatty. And so I was like 15 and I was staying at the Chateau Marmont, sleeping in Warren's room because he was sleeping down in the suite with Joan.
Uh-huh.
And I took these great photos of them, black and white photos of the three of the two of them doing the Three Monkeys.
You know, excellent.
See no evil, hear no evil. So I'm going to open the book, Hollywood Snaps, with that.
Oh, wonderful.
That's perfect.
We're going to take a short break here on The Dinner Party Show, and then we will be back with more with Jackie Collins. I'm so excited. I'm mumbling. We're talking about all the TV shows we love, all the books we love, all the movies we're ever going to see ever. And we'll be back here on The Dinner Party Show after this short break.
Tired of dining alone? Enjoy The Dinner Party Show with friends. Like us on Facebook and become one of our party people. Then, during our live shows on Sundays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, you can join the conversation and post questions for Christopher, Eric, and their guests. During the week, drop in for tasty side dishes, show updates, and fun with the other party people. The Dinner Party Show. You are the life of our party.
I'm Eric Shaw Quinn, and on behalf of everyone here at The Dinner Party Show, I'd like to congratulate my co-host, Christopher Rice, on the publication of his first full-length erotic romance novel, The Surrender Gate. It's the latest installment in his brand new series, The Desire Exchange, which began with his novella, The Flame, last year. Both books are now on sale at thedinnerpartyshow.com, and if you buy them there, a portion of your sale supports the operation of this show. Congratulations, Christopher, and happy reading, everyone. Sounds like you might want to read this one alone.
You're listening to The Dinner Party Show with Christopher Rice and Eric Shaw Quinn, where dessert is the most important meal of the day.
Welcome back to The Dinner Party Show. I'm Christopher Rice.
And I'm Eric Shaw Quinn. I almost forgot. I'm still thinking of my next question
for
Jackie.
We are so excited about our guests. Absolutely. We are just losing ourselves. Jackie Collins is here. We've been talking about the TV shows that we love, the movies that impacted us, the books that we love.
I would like to ask a question because we were talking when we left off, we were talking about how influential The Godfather was on the way in which popular fiction and popular entertainment took kind of a new avenue. Recently, there has been a very new sort of development. I don't know that it's that new, but certainly much more popular development in and around women owning their sexuality a great deal more. The 50 Shades of Grey as right. sort of not necessarily as the flag bearer, but it is sort of the where it is
well,
arrived. And I'm wondering, did Jackie Collins
I presume that
begin you... sort of this journey when she decided that the heroines of Sydney and Harold were just a little too housebound for her?
I presume that you read Tropic of Cancer and Tropic of Capricorn. I mean, those books, those kind of books right. have been around forever. I remember when I was right. a kid going
Justine
to the south of France on holiday. Yeah, Emmanuel.
Yeah.
I mean, Emmanuel is sexier than anything that's out there now. Mm-hmm. And I remember going to the south of France, and they were banned in England. And so I would be in the south of France as a teenager, and they had this big bookstore there by a restaurant called Pam Pam. And I would get the books, and I'd hide them in my suitcase and smuggle them back to London.
Yes.
And my father kept beside his bed in a brown paper wrapper, Lady Chatterley's Lover.
Oh, my.
Yes. But I think, you know, I think this was kind of created by the media because, you know, the Today Show had two segments in a row about shades, and they said mommy porn. Now, to me, mommy porn sounds totally disgusting.
It is.
I don't like that.
You know, I've been working in romance, and I have a lot of colleagues who just hate the term because
yeah,
they say what I put into the book in terms of story and content is more than you're going to find in your average porn film or porn story. And
yeah.
I have nothing against porn. I consume a fair amount of porn.
Do you now, Christopher?
It's, you know,
Confessions of Christopher we're getting. I like this.
I tweet about that late at night.
Tell
while you're
more.
Tweeting about the TV
oh,
shows,
I'll be following
I tweet
you
about
on
the
Twitter
porn,
now.
Right?
Absolutely. I'm Jackie J. Collins on Twitter. You can follow me.
Or maybe come up with a secret Tumblr name and then
we can share pictures.
But anyway, we also have a listener, Alan Fogg, on our Facebook page who said he'd never had to ask his parents about the birds and the bees because he read your books.
I have had so many people say that to me. I've had so many people say to me, oh, you taught me everything I know about sex.
Right.
And I think my books were very sexual before women were writing about sex at all.
Right.
I mean, they were writing about women going and having, you know, nervous breakdowns in Maces and things like that.
That's what I was sort of teasing. Maybe it's a rediscovery, but I think you sort of reopened that door.
Women have always been sexy. And as for role playing, in Hollywood divorces, there's a lot of role playing.
Right.
Because I think that's really sexy.
Yeah.
I think role playing is much more sexy than being tied up and beaten with a leather spatula or whatever.
Absolutely, that's the sexy thing. A little game of like
you're
going to be different characters because it's sort of like cheating on each other without cheating.
Yeah, well, I have these two gay friends and we would go away for the weekend to Santa Barbara or something just to have a nice, you know, weekend away.
Uh-huh.
And I would say to them, we'd have dinner and I would say to them, I'm going to give you your roles for tonight.
Oh, that's
I say, now
odd.
You're going to be a postman and you're going to be, you know, the delivery guy. And then they'd come down to breakfast the next morning very happy.
Okay, I'm just going to say, you know how authors are always asked to give away prizes for various charities. I think you should give away that.
Absolutely.
Will come to your house and decide who's going to be in the marriage that night.
Oh, my gosh.
No more naming characters and books for people. Like, that's what I would bid on.
Things have changed sexually very much so with Grindr. I mean, for instance.
Yes.
Another friend of mine, we were in a restaurant one night and we said, are you on Grindr? A friend of mine from New York, a woman was in and we said to him, are you on Grindr? And he goes, no, I'm not. So we grabbed his phone. We put him on Grindr, right, much to his fury. And up came this gorgeous black guy, fabulous looking guy.
Uh-huh.
Right. So we said, oh, yeah, you've got to. And the guy said, I'm like 500 yards away.
Uh-huh.
So I hand the phone to show my friend from New York. And she looks at the picture and she goes, holy shit, that's my chauffeur. He was her driver sitting outside the restaurant.
That's fantastic.
That's brilliant.
I love that.
I mean, you can't make up stories like that because they're just so funny.
Yeah, but we were talking about that idea. The term mommy porn doesn't really seem to get at
that idea.
It's dismissive.
It's not about women claiming their fantasies.
No,
it's about
not
demeaning
about
them
women
for having
claiming
them.
Their sexuality
yeah,
at
exactly.
all. Yeah,
exactly. Right, right. Absolutely. Well, we have some more questions for you from our loyal listeners on the party line. We call them our party people. Let's see what's up first.
Well, hello. This is Talitha, the crazy cookie lady. I wanted to call and ask Jackie a question.
Yeah.
I wanted to know if she ever actually had Joan as one of her characters in her books. All right, boys, take care. Love you guys. Bye.
That is a very good question. And as a matter of fact, not only did I write about her in a book I wrote called The Stud. And that was followed up with The Bitch.
Right.
And Aaron Spelling saw these movies because I wrote the books and I made the movies. And he saw these movies and he said, this character is a fabulous character. Her name in the book was Fontaine Khalid.
Ooh.
She was this fabulous, you know, jet set nymphomaniac married to a very rich man. And
every boy's dream.
Every boy's dream. And Aaron saw the character and turned her into Alexis Carrington Colby, in which she was fabulous.
Wow. Brilliant.
But I always feel it was my character.
Brilliant.
I mean,
right.
I didn't base it on Joan, but I it had elements of Joan
absolutely.
In the character.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
because
that was really
fun.
We were talking about this recently that. You can go back and watch shows like Dynasty
yes.
because of the sort of streaming revolution that we're in.
Oh, yeah.
And Dynasty before Joan was not really Dynasty.
Yeah.
Like, the show really didn't become what it is.
It took off when Joan
yeah.
came on. But the
right.
interesting thing about Dynasty was that they would follow my plot lines. As I wrote a new book, they would follow the plot lines on Dynasty.
And
like,
you
who
were...
do you think Diane Carroll came from?
Wait.
I mean, Lucky suddenly discovered she has a black brother, and then the next season on Dynasty, Alexis has a black sister.
And
I
you
mean,
were
it's like
okay
crazy.
With this? Or was it...
No. And then they
like,
brought on...
Today, this would be an epic lawsuit.
And then they brought on a sister for Joan,
right.
who was a trashy novelist. And I said to Joan, what the fuck? And she said to me, oh, I have nothing to do with the writing.
Oh, I
yeah.
see.
Yeah.
I see. That's wonderful.
But we are the best of friends. In fact, we went to the movies together today.
Oh, wonderful.
And she's fantastic. She's
That's
really
wonderful.
Is she in town? She lives here
she's
as well?
She's in town. We've been out, I think, 16 nights in a row, her, me, and her fabulous husband. I think he's her fifth husband, but he's the best one yet.
Oh, well, you know.
Yeah.
You're bound to get it right eventually.
Yeah, eventually
huh?
I know.
Right.
Practice
yeah.
makes perfect.
No, he's
Absolutely.
Great.
Another question from our party line. I think this is from one of our loyal listeners, Mr. Justin Simpson.
Hi, guys. This is Justin Simpson.
I was
so
right.
excited to hear that you were going to have Jackie Collins on the show. So, Jackie, if you're there, I just want to say hi. Thank you so much. You've been a real influence on me as a writer. If it were not for your book, Poor Little Bitch Girl, I probably wouldn't have gotten back into reading and writing like the way I did. So I just wanted to thank you for writing that. And on that note, I actually had a couple questions regarding one of my favorite characters, Annabelle Maestro. I like her so much. She really embodies to me what it means to be a celebrity in this day and age, and I think that's why I like her so much. So my two questions regarding her were this. One, will you be writing any more books with Annabelle Maestro? And two, just out of curiosity, if Annabelle had not met Frankie, would she have still gone down the route of running a business of call girls, or would she have done something else? I'd love to know. Thank
oh,
you so
Justin.
Much.
I love your questions. And I'll tell you why I love them so much, because Annabelle is back in
oh.
the Sant'Angelo's.
Oh, excellent.
And you'll see what happened to her.
This June.
Yes.
The
Sant'Angelo's. This June the 16th, Annabelle is back with a vengeance. And Frankie is back, too.
Excellent.
I brought back a lot of old favorites in the Sant'Angelo's. And I think everybody is going to be pleased about this, because they'll find out what happened to them. But thank you so much. You sound adorable.
I think you just made Justin's day.
Absolutely.
And that's it. Now we just get to talk to you, because those were all the questions we allowed in from our party line.
The hell with them. So now it's just all about us.
Oh, okay.
Now it's
all,
just
about
all
about us.
Now
okay.
it's just all about us. But people are asking us on the Facebook page, where do you get your inspiration from? And it sounds like you just sort of look around you. I mean, you live in Hollywood.
Well,
this is
you
where
know,
you
before
are.
I lived in Hollywood, my husband owned nightclubs in London.
Mm.
He owned a nightclub which was very famous called the Ad Lib, where all the Beatles and the Rolling Stones and Eric Clapton used to hang out. So I would watch all of that. And then he owned a club called Dolly's. And then he owned Tramp, which is still in the news today.
Mm.
Something happened there the other day. I can't remember. I think it was Prince Edward was there or something.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I would sit there and watch what goes on. And you would be amazed what goes on in nightclubs. And then we opened Tramp in Los Angeles. And then I really got to see, you know, because you have everybody from the sports stars to the movie stars to the singing stars
right.
to the drug dealers, because
mm-hmm.
the singing stars will bring in the drug dealers. And although it's an exclusive club, you know, it's a huge star saying, you got to do me a favor and give this guy a membership. And so it all spiraled out of control. We left it after a year. But I saw, I mean, the things that I saw, that was one source of inspiration. But I came to Hollywood when I was 15, and I saw so much then. I was thrown out of school, came to Hollywood, met this group of girls who were very interesting.
And you were thrown out of school for truancy? Is that
No, I was thrown out for waving at the resident flasher. And what is good about this story is I have a goddaughter who called me up the other day, and she said, Jackie, she said, I just got flashed. And I said, well, that's nothing new. Everybody gets flashed. She said, no, you don't understand. She said, I was walking out of my apartment, and this guy comes up to me with a cell phone, and he said, can you help me with my phone? I just kind of, and she said, I took his phone. She said, and there were the crown jewels in my face.
Oh. It's the modern flashing.
So it's flashing my phone.
Flashing it's in the 21st century.
Yes, I know.
You heard it here first, folks.
Yeah.
But there's no way. That's so hard to verify.
Right.
Right. What? That could just be anybody's.
Yeah, he could
picture.
Be showing anybody's crown jewels.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, and we see enough of them. I mean, it could be Anthony Weiner.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so, you never know.
But back in the days of traditional flashing, you waved back at the resident flasher.
Yes, I waved back at him. I also played truant most days to go to the movies because I was crazy about Hollywood.
Sure.
And I think I was caught smoking in my school uniform more than once. And then I decided, you know, my parents actually said to me, and this is the title of my autobiography, Reform School or Hollywood. And I thought for a few minutes and I said, you know what, I think I'll take Hollywood. Because Joan was making movies with, you know, Harry Belafonte, Paul Newman, Joanne Woodward.
Wow. Right.
She was doing really well. People know Joan from Dynasty, but she had a huge career before Dynasty.
Right.
A long time.
She does a one-woman show, which is spectacular because she shows all the clips from all these movies that she did
that
with Betty
be
Davis
wonderful.
And people like that. It's amazing.
That's wonderful. It was so really, the choice was reform school or Hollywood.
Which would you take, Christopher?
I think I would take Hollywood.
Yeah.
I think I
and
would.
And so I did.
Do we know anybody who would pick reform school?
Well, what I was thinking when I was listening to the story is that the Jackie Collins today, they would try to medicate you and put you in therapy for all those things.
Oh, probably.
Sort of,
who knows?
You know, and I still hope you would escape to Hollywood in that scenario as well.
Yes.
Hollywood I would, you know.
But was there some... What was going on at that household? You know, like, you all have become remarkable women. What was happening at home that inspired you to become the sorts of people that you are?
Well, my father was a very, very handsome, very macho man, a bit of a chauvinist. And I'm sure he was very unfaithful all the time.
Oh, dear.
And my mother was a beautiful blonde, very soft, kind woman who was a stay-at-home mom.
Uh-huh.
But we were a show business family, so I went to a very proper girls' school, but they never said to me, do you have homework? Do you want to go to one of those parties? Should we come and see the headmistress? They couldn't care less.
I see.
So I couldn't care less. So I buried myself in books. So that was my part of it. I think Joan just wanted to get to Hollywood and make movies. And so
and be a star.
Yeah. So she was off to Hollywood when she was like 20, and I was, you know, still in school. Thinking, why can't I go there too? So I think I worked on getting myself expelled so I could follow her. Yeah.
So that's why the choice was Hollywood or reform school.
Yeah.
It was the showbiz influence from home.
There
were parties at the house. It was a sort of wild environment.
There were a lot of parties. Our house was always full when I was growing up with actors and singers and musicians and jugglers. And then I went out.
Jugglers. Wow.
Well, my father was a variety agent. I went actually out on the road when I was 16 and compared a variety show right across England. I was the compare. I would have to come on and introduce everybody.
Marvelous.
Yes. What do you call it in America? What is a compare?
I guess the host or
the
major.
Yeah, I was the host of the show.
MC.
I was, 16 years old, going out and going. And now we
presenting
have Mrs. Shufflewick, who's a fabulous comedian. You know, it was crazy. Yeah.
That is fantastic. Yeah. So, this is all going into the autobiography,
I assume.
And when can we expect this?
I'm writing two books at once now. I'm writing Flynn, who was in The Power Trip, and women love Flynn. He's just like a real macho, fabulous guy.
Right.
He was on this power – the book was The Power Trip, and it was a yacht filled with famous people that gets pirated, owned by a Russian billionaire and his supermodel girlfriend. it is a Jackie Collins book, after right. all.
Right. After all, yes.
I'm in.
Wow.
So there's a cheating politician. There's a black football star. There's a gay South American singing star and his horrible English boyfriend.
I'm in.
All based on real people. There's a 50-something movie star with his 22-year-old waitress girlfriend. Mm-hmm. So they're all having this fabulous cruise, and then they get pirated by Somali pirates. Flynn saves the day. Flynn is a fabulous journalist who really doesn't want to be there, but the Russian, he'd done a favor for the Russian and he'd just seen his friend blown up in Afghanistan, so he decided he would go on the trip just for, you know, to relax, and ended up saving
and
them
ended
all.
Ended up, yeah, being.
So now I'm writing about
Somali
him again because he's just such a sexy, dynamic character, and I don't know what he's going to do next, but I know it's good.
Well, yeah, as we are, it opens up as we already talked about, you never know. Like, you like to just go in.
I never know.
You're what in the writing conferences, they would call you a pantser. You know, you could do by the seat of your pants as opposed to having an outline. I love that. So, and you write every day? I have to ask.
I write every day.
Every day? Every day of the week? Holidays, July 4th, Christmas?
Yeah, if I can, if I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. My life is really very much about my work and my family.
Right.
My family comes first, my work comes second, but I love what I do. I have a passion for it.
Right.
And
clearly.
I'll be, you know, 106 sitting there writing, and then
we hope.
He ripped off her clothes, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, because I love what I do, and I try to encourage writers, too, as I'm sure your mom does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm always saying to people, if you want to write, don't talk about it, do it.
Right, right.
Yeah. And they find this very encouraging.
Yeah.
And I find
because there's a lot of, as great as the internet is for writers and for all of us, there's a lot of discouraging information on the internet. There are a lot of people making lists of things you have to do to be a writer or things you're doing wrong.
Oh, please.
And,
I mean,
and I think if you're in a doubtful early period of your development as a writer, you can attach to that
so
stuff
easy
too
to become
strongly.
Discouraged.
Yes.
And become discouraged.
What plays into your
fears? What made you want to write?
I they wouldn't let me act, really. I went away to college and I auditioned for everything and I didn't get a single call back. And in high school, I had been the theater guy.
Yeah.
And I said, writing is something nobody can stop me from doing.
Exactly.
You can take the stage away from me. You cannot allow me on the stage, but I can go
to tomorrow.
I can go to this stage in my head. I'm pointing to my head, people at home. So that was really how I started. But I truly thought I'd never write a novel. I thought I would write screenplays or plays, something that I would try to.
Was that because you were intimidated by your mom?
Yes, absolutely.
See,
absolutely.
I have a daughter who's written a wonderful novel called Playing Along, Rory Samantha Lerman. It's on, and she self-published. Because she happened to give it to an agent and it was bought out at the time that they said, you know, chick lit is over, forget about it. So she got the most beautiful rejection letters that I've ever seen. You know, this book is going to be huge, this book is this and this
but
is
we
that.
Can't publish it.
But
is
we
that
can't
what,
publish oh, it at wow. this moment yeah. because our team doesn't feel that those books are selling anymore.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But I feel so bad for her. And I was having dinner the other night with Julie Andrews, another name drop, and she said her mother, her daughter has done the same thing. Self-published. Uh-huh. And Rory's done very well with her book.
The but world is, yeah, the is world of publishing is changing so much.
Yeah, like absolutely.
If the traditional publishing houses aren't interested, there's no reason for that to be a barrier between you
and one of the things that I've done is I've taken all my early books, which I still hold the e-rights to.
Very smart.
And I've done it myself.
Yes.
And they're doing fantastically. You know, Everything from The World is Full of Married Men, which was my first book, to, you know, Hollywood Kids, to Chances, to, and it's so much fun because I get to design the cover myself. I work with my assistant and she sources out fabulous covers. And it's just great fun.
You have a degree of control that's unheard of.
Unheard
10
of
years
for,
ago, it would have felt like, you would have thought, oh, I don't want that degree of control. But then when you get it, you're like, oh, I can actually make all these decisions. I don't have to be stuck with a horrible cover that's about appeasing a certain segment of a sales force I've never met.
Exactly.
With the digital revolution, content is king.
It really is.
Or queen.
Yeah.
Totally.
Or queen.
Yeah, or this queen. He pointed to me, Dinner Party Show.
Yeah, no, it's
or
true.
This one. Yeah, whatever.
It's true.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it really is. It is given the writer so much more access to his own juju, you know, his own sort of mojo or whatever you want to call it. You can create your own sort of world and environment. And it's nice if publishers want to go along with
it. There are these prejudices
James
about the – oh, yeah. I mean, that's
now,
a classic
but she
example.
She was a huge hit before anybody ever –
It was called Master of the Universe, and it was selling well. And I had friends who were waiting for the next installment to appear on the site of this Australian digital publisher so they could download it and read it in one night. But it is a great leveler for the prejudices that develop among the executives and the agents and the editors, where they start to believe things about the audience that aren't really true.
Exactly.
And they never see the women. That's what we're seeing with 50 Shades. We saw it with the first Sex and the City movie. They were both these explosive hits.
Right.
And it says you've got this huge audience out there that is starved for good, juicy stuff.
Yeah.
And then when you make it for them, you know, it explodes.
Yeah. And the executives always act like, well, this is such a fluke. And it's like, no, not really.
Not
actually, women buy books and read and go to the movies and any other
group. That's because most of the studio executives are male.
Yes.
Uh-huh. They're usually in their 40s, and they usually got into the business to get laid.
Yes.
So,
right.
There you go.
Yeah.
One of my favorite Hollywood stories is about a producer who, every time he broke up with his girlfriend, he would send out the casting call for his type, and then he would literally audition the new girlfriend.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the casting couch is alive and well and living in Hollywood very healthily.
Absolutely.
You know, people say, oh, that didn't... You know, actresses will say, oh, I never saw the casting couch. Meanwhile, they've slept with everybody on their way up.
Right?
Yep. It's true.
Now, I heard you say once in an interview that you had a book of secrets somewhere.
Oh.
And only you knew where the key was.
Maybe
one other person knew where the key was. And if anything bad ever happened to you, they would be able to take that. I mean, it sounded like the plot of a Jack Collins novel.
I know.
But you were saying it by your pool. I think you were being interviewed by E! And I thought that is a brilliant plan.
I think I should definitely publish it one of these.
Yeah. Right, when you just don't give a damn what anybody thinks.
Exactly.
Or when they're all dead.
I know.
Yeah. Oh. I know, right?
Outlive them all and then publish.
Oh, yes, right. Exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I know. It'd be good.
I could do this all night, but we have only a few minutes left.
No.
We could have done it too. You must come back.
I would love to come back.
Yeah, when the St. Angelo's is coming out in June, we can talk about that.
That would be great.
Get all kinds
of June, yes.
June is busting out all over with St. Angelo's. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
That would be wonderful.
That.
Or any other time you damn well feel about it.
If you're in the neighborhood, just come on over on Sunday night.
Well, I must say, you guys are fantastic. We've had tea sandwiches, fabulous cookies,
cup
of tea.
And I had a Cointreau on the rocks, which was delightful.
Excellent.
Yes.
Eric Shaw Quinn bakes our cookies. Our good friend Bobby Lee makes our finger sandwiches.
The finger sandwiches are to die
for. Yeah, that's Tiny Kitchens is his
Tiny Kitchens.
He's a caterer.
But it's so nice of you to have
Tiny Kitchens
actual food for people when they come here.
It's a dinner party, but, you know, we're on the air, so we didn't want, you know, turkey legs or something.
Mutton
because nobody wanted to listen to that. But we thought,
well, you guys are so much fun to talk to.
And
I really
make it easy.
You're an inspiration.
Oh, thank you so much.
Absolutely. Well, next week we will be joined by Heather Graham,
excellent,
the novelist, not Heather Graham, the actress.
No. Oh. Unless she wants to come by too, which would be fine with us.
That would be fine. Heather Graham has published over 100 books. I don't know how she did it, but we're going to find out.
I can't even imagine.
And it will be a topic show, and we will be discussing how to age passionately. Not gracefully, but passionately.
Absolutely.
How to keep the fire alive after writing 100 books. Until then, we want to thank our guest tonight, Jackie Collins. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
I had fun, really.
I'm Christopher Rice.
And I'm Eric Shaw Quinn.
And I'm Jackie Collins.
And she will be coming back to the Dinner Party Show.
I'll be back.
Good night.
I've been to a marvelous party.